Alright, in this lesson we're taking a bright, upfront immense style air horn hit and turning it into something darker, grittier, and way more usable in a 90s inspired drum and bass context inside Ableton Live 12. The big idea here is not just to make it darker for the sake of it. We want the sample to feel like it belongs in a moody jungle, roller, or dark side arrangement. That means it needs to sound a little worn, a little tense, and rhythmically useful. Think of it less like a novelty horn and more like a pressure tool, a punctuation mark, something that can answer the drums, trigger a transition, or announce a drop with attitude. We're going to stay completely inside Ableton native tools, warp, simpler, saturator, auto filter, drum bus, echo, reverb, utility, EQ8, and resampling. By the end, you'll have a horn hit that's darker, tighter, more controlled, and ready to behave like a proper DJ tool. So first, load your immense style air horn sample onto an audio track. If it isn't already warped, turn warp on so it locks to the grid. For a sound like this, you want the attack to feel stable and intentional, but you don't want to chop the life out of it. If the sample is already punchy and short, Beats Warp mode can work nicely. If it's a brighter, fuller sample, Complex Pro is often the safer choice. Just keep an eye on the transient and make sure it still feels natural. Now get the clip positioned in phrase time. In drum and bass, placement matters a lot. A horn hit usually works best on the first beat of a phrase, on the end of two, or as a pickup into a new section. In a dark intro, you might place it on bar 5 or bar 13 so it feels like it's leading towards something. That phrase awareness is part of what makes the sound feel like it belongs in the track instead of just being dropped on top. If you want a little more control, load the horn into simpler on a new MIDI track. That gives you more flexibility for editing and resampling later. One shot or classic mode both work depending on how you want the tail to behave. Set the amp envelope so the attack is basically instant, with a short decay and no sustain. We want this to hit like a stab, not hang around like a lead synth. A good starting point is a very fast attack, a decay somewhere around a few hundred milliseconds, sustain at zero, and a short release. If the horn feels too open or too musical, shorten the tail a bit more. In DnB, especially in darker styles, too much tail can clutter the groove fast. You want the hit to be decisive. Now let's darken the tone. Put auto filter after the sample or after simpler, and start with a low pass filter. Bring the cutoff down until the bright, almost carnival-like top end disappears and the sound starts feeling more ominous. You're not trying to erase the horn's identity, just moving its energy downward into the midrange. A little resonance can help emphasize the edge, but don't overdo it or it'll start ringing in an annoying way. After that, add saturator. This is where the horn starts to get some attitude. Push the drive a few dB, turn on soft clip if needed, and then trim the output so you're not just making it louder. The goal is to thicken the mids and create a slightly degraded, gritty texture. If it starts sounding fizzy, don't be afraid to back off the drive and shape it more carefully with EQ. If you want even more grime, try drum bus after saturator. A little drive and crunch can make the horn feel much more like it belongs inside a break-heavy jungle arrangement. Just keep the boom low or off, because we're not trying to add sub-weight here. We're trying to make the hit feel tougher. Next comes EQ8, and this is where the horn really gets mix ready. High pass it somewhere around the low end so it doesn't fight your kick and sub. Then check the low mids. If it sounds boxy or cloudy, cut a little around the 250 to 500 Hz region. If the attack is stabbing too hard, you can tame some of the harshness in the upper mids. And if there's still too much glossy top end, trim the highs a bit more. A really useful mindset here is to give the horn presence without giving it sub. You want it to live in that aggressive, middle territory, where it can cut through drums and bass without stepping on them. If it feels like it's competing with the res or the kick-sub relationship, narrow the low end and clean it up more. You can also use utility here to check width and mono compatibility. For the main version, a moderate stereo width is fine, but if you want a more direct DJ-style stab, keep it narrower. A more centered hit often feels heavier and more intentional in a mix. Whitening is something you use for atmosphere, not for the core punch. Now let's add movement and space, but keep it controlled. This style wants tension, not wash. Put echo after the tonal shaping if you want a little tail and motion. Keep the feedback modest. Use a short rhythmic time like an eighth note or dotted eighth, and filter the echoes so they don't get bright and messy. A little echo can make the horn feel like it's throwing a shadow into the arrangement. Then add reverb, but use it sparingly. Small to medium spaces usually work better here than giant washed-out halls. Roll off the lows and highs inside the reverb so it sits behind the sound instead of smearing it. If you want a classic dark intro move, automate the reverb wet amount up slightly on the last hit of a phrase, then pull it back down before the next section. That gives you atmosphere without losing impact. This is a good moment to think like a sound designer and like an arranger at the same time. One really useful next step is to treat the horn as an accent generator, not a finished lead sound. In other words, make one main processed version, then create a few micro variations. One version can be more impact focused, one more atmospheric, one for transitions, and one for fills. A super efficient way to do that in Live 12 is to drop the horn into an audio effect rack and map a few macros. For example, one macro can control darker versus brighter tone. Another can control transient softness. Another can control width. Another can control how wet the space gets. That turns the horn into something performable. You're not rebuilding the chain every time. You're shaping it like an instrument. A very important teacher note here. Watch your gain staging. If the original sample is already hot, saturation and echo can get fizzy and harsh really quickly. Sometimes the best move is simply turning the clip down earlier in the chain so the processors have room to work. Dark processing often sounds better when it's driven a little less aggressively at the input. If the horn loses too much punch after filtering, don't just open the filter back up. Instead, restore a little impact with a tiny transient boost through drum bus or by layering in a very short saturated version underneath. That keeps the dark character intact while giving the hit back its authority. Once you've got a version that feels right, resample it. This is where the workflow gets really powerful. Create a new audio track, set the input to resampling, and record a few versions of the same horn. One dry and dark, one with a short echo tail, one with reverb, and maybe one with a reverse lead-in. This gives you a little toolkit instead of just one sound. After recording, consolidate your favorite takes and chop them into useful pieces. Pull out the attack, the tail, the reversed pre-hit, maybe even a double hit variation with a slight timing offset. Then you can load those resampled chunks into Sampler and trigger them from MIDI. That makes the horn way easier to use in arrangements, fills, and transitions. Now place it in context with your drums and bass. The most effective use is usually call and response. Let the breaks ask the question and let the horn answer. For example, you might have a filtered break with a horn hit at the end of the phrase, then a bass response in the next section. Or you might use the horn as punctuation right before a drum fill or right before a drop. If you're making a roller, don't put the horn on every downbeat. Let it answer at the end of a two-bar phrase. If you're making a jungle cut, use it even more sparingly so the break can still breathe. And if you want it to feel really glued into the track, layer it with a short snare or rim shot from the break on the same accent. That makes it feel like part of the drum language instead of floating on top. From there, automation becomes the final performance layer. You can automate filter cutoff to close down over 4 or 8 bars for tension. You can bring the reverb up on a fill and then snap it back. You can increase echo feedback just before the drop. You can narrow the width as the section gets darker. You can even increase saturation slightly in the second half of the phrase so the horn feels like it's getting more urgent. For a DJ Tool style intro, start with the horn darker and more mono, then gradually open it up as the drums enter. For a drop switch up, pull the filter down quickly right before the hit so it feels like the sound is sucked into a vacuum and then released. That kind of automation makes even a simple sample feel alive. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't make the horn too bright just because you want it to cut. If it needs presence, add grit and shape rather than raw top end. Don't let it fight the bass. Keep the sub region clear. Don't overwiden the main hit. Keep the core attack fairly centered. Don't drown it in reverb. In DNB, the horn should punch through the groove, not blur it. And don't ignore phrase placement, because random placement weakens the impact immediately. If you want to push it further, try duplicating the horn and pitching one layer down an octave or up a fifth at a very low level. The lower layer can add menace, while the higher layer can create a warped alarm-like edge. You can also create a tiny timing smear by nudging a second copy a few milliseconds late. That adds a dubby, slightly sloppy feel that works really well in darker jungle and roller contexts. Another nice trick is a reverse reveal. You don't need to reverse the entire sound. Sometimes just reversing the tail, or a filtered duplicate, or a resampled reverb print is enough to create a strong lead-in. That's especially useful before a drum edit or the start of an 8-bar section. You can also make a ghost version. Lower in volume, more filtered, more saturated, a little narrower, maybe even slightly detuned. Use that as a background hit every 4 or 8 bars. It won't shout, but it will add atmosphere and make the arrangement feel deeper. A great mini practice exercise is to make 3 versions of the same air horn. First, make a dark and dry version with filtering, saturation, and EQ cleanup. Second, make a darker version with short echo and a small reverb, and automate the wet amount over 2 bars. Third, resample the processed horn, reverse part of it, and chop it into a 1-bar Collins response with your break.